Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lyons Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lyons Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lyons Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
KKXX listeners, welcome to Christ Today. This is Curtis Smith, your host, coming at you with a show that's educational, informative, and encouraging, and where we bring up the great news of Jesus Christ. And our guest in the studio today is none other than Ken Winton. Good morning, Mr. Winton.
Good morning, Curtis. How are you doing?
Doing excellent. So, Ken, you were on our show not too long ago. How's things going since the last time you were on?
The truth be known, I'd have to be in heaven for life to be better. I mean, it's just, as Paul says, you know, to live as Christ, to die as gain. So, you know, either way, I'm okay. And if you continue to do what you love, you never work a day in your life. So I don't ever feel like I work. I just, because I love what I do. I'm this week, I'm out at the Youth with a Mission base teaching on worship and intercession. And so great students out there, and we're just having a great time. So I enjoy life.
So, how long have you been ministering to people at the YMU?
I started around 1999, maybe 2000. Had one of the base leaders out there was in our small group at our church. We just became really close friends, and I was teaching on a whole series on bridal paradigm, who God says we are to Him. And Jesu said, man, you have got to come out here and teach this. So I've been teaching that out there, and worship and intercession, bridal
Jesu's
paradigm teaching. No, Jesu's now up in the state of Washington. He's at the Father's house. He oversees DI, which is called Destiny International. Oh, okay. It's a ministry that I go up there every fall for about 10 days. And
okay.
Matter of fact, we're conducting a Living Lighter weekend up there this fall. I'm excited to go up there.
What's Destiny International? If you could tell the audience a little bit about Destiny International. Do you know much about it?
Well, yeah, it's in a lot of ways, it's simply a ministry school. You know, they bring all ages. They don't have just young adults. They have every age there. And the reason they bring these people together is they're forming and shaping disciples. The word disciples in the Greek literally means learners. So it isn't limited to just followers of Christ, because there's lots of followers of Christ.
Amen.
You know.
So true.
But Jesus is looking for real learners, and so that's what Destiny International is about, is creating and establishing and pushing forward real learners of Jesus Christ. And their school of ministry is 9 months long, and they have just a great time. If you go to Jake's house, www.christtoday.com. You can find out all the information you want on it. I really strongly encourage your listeners to at least consider maybe attending that school. I realize it's up in the greater Seattle area, but
yeah, listeners, gives us some thought. This
boy,
is
it'll revolutionize you.
This is kind of sort of what you're going to be doing here in a couple weeks, right?
Yes. Yeah, we've got my wife and I have what we call our next Living Lighter Weekend, and we do them two times a year here in the greater Chico area. And
how did you get started?
Well, boy, I'll tell you, I don't remember the exact year that we started doing these, but I've been teaching on this topic for years and years, and I would hold, we simply called them Bridal Paradigm Weekends, mm-hmm. but a while back we shifted it to calling it Living Lighter Weekends.
Why was that?
Well, you know, this whole topic of living lighter with God, I think, is preeminent on the Father's heart. He
Explain.
Wants us to live lighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus confronted the religious leaders of the day, he said, you whitewash sepulchers, you dead man's bones, you put weight on people mm-hmm. that you won't even stoop down to help them lift it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, believe it or not, Jesus was actually loving them. He was telling them a hard truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're putting weight on people. In other words, stop doing that. But he realized they weren't stopping, so he kept saying, you're putting weight on people, you're putting weight on people. Mm-hmm. Then he turned to the people and he said, now, any of you people out there who've had that religious weight put on you, you come to me
mm-hmm.
and I will give you rest,
mm-hmm.
for my yoke is light.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, my wife and I decided to start calling this ministry Living Lighter Today, because that's in reality what we proclaim. We escort people into the presence of God and mm-hmm. allow them to live lighter with Him.
Because His Word says that His burden is light, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. And a lot of people are living under such a heaviness, but you try to get people to understand what it means to live lighter in Christ.
That's right, and that's what that weekend we have coming up. It starts 2 weeks from today mm-hmm. on May 14th. I know you're attending, and others are coming. And the whole weekend is teaching, training, and releasing people how to walk lighter with God. And we do a number of, it isn't just flat-out teaching. We do a lot of, my wife and I, we're trying to come up with a different term because some people freak out over this term, but we do a lot of what we call psychodramas.
Yeah.
We have dramatic things that people do that change them from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 3-day weekend that literally will turn you inside out. It'll revolutionize you and free you up in Jesus. So
mm-hmm.
for those that are heavy burdened,
couldn't ask for anything better.
From religious doctrines and all sorts of things, and weights have been put on you,
mm-hmm.
Jesus wants to remove those weights. One of the ways He does that is to bring you to a weekend like this, and it'll, as I say, it'll change you from the inside out. God's an inside out God.
You know, I give the listeners a little bit of a testimony because it's the last time you and I talked. I went and through some circumstances, I was already set to go. And then, as you know my situation, listeners may not, I don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of at a loss of words when it didn't look like I was going to be able to go. But the Lord must want me there because He opened up an avenue for me to get a ride, which I would have never considered it, would have never thought it. But if it wouldn't have been for the guest that I had on my show last week,
mm-hmm.
this avenue for a ride when they happen.
Yeah.
So God has everything set up and He knows why He wants me there. And I believe there's a lot of hurting people in the church that
yeah.
have had a lot of stuff placed on them, put on them, and they need freedom. And, you know, law doesn't teach freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Commandments doesn't teach freedom. Only the grace of God teaches freedom.
That's right.
But when we understand freedom, we also want to do the things that please God, not the things that displease God. If we're going around preaching freedom, but we're displeasing God, we're not any more free than we are just living under a set of bondages.
That's right.
So what you do, I believe, is expose people to truth, get them to see the bondages that they've been under so they can completely come out of all that bondage and not have to live under bondage again. Am I not accurate?
No, you're right on. I mean, it says in Scripture that truth sets us free.
Amen.
So if truth sets us free, what do lies do? They bind us up.
Yeah.
They tie us up.
Mm-hmm.
They put more weight on us.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has been delivered a lot of lies down exactly. through the centuries. Now, these
Not intentionally, not on purpose.
No,
I'm misunderstanding.
Well-meaning leaders
yeah.
within the church, loving leaders who care. But guess what? Sometimes we pass on lies to individuals, or we pass on ways that you have to be in the mm-hmm. kingdom of God. And we do that simply because that's what was passed on to us.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're passing on at the Living Ladder Weekends is the truth of God's grace, His power, His love. Mm-hmm. His love casts out all fear.
Okay.
It doesn't say that His lies cast out all fear.
No, His
it's
love
His love that casts out all fear. So
yeah.
I really want to encourage the listeners, just go to kenwinton.org, and the landing page will be right there for Living Ladder Weekends. It'll tell you all the information you need to know about the weekend and where you can register.
Is there still room for any more people?
Yes, there's some room. Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, but how many more people?
Oh, we probably could hold another 4 or 5 more people.
So listeners, if you're out there, this is for you. I'd really go to kenwinton.org and look at it and consider going, because I believe your life is going to be transformed and changed just like mine. And I'd love to meet you there. I'd love to see you there. So Ken's welcoming you to come, and you are welcome to come. Get a hold of him if you like. Talk with him, and there's still time. All right, Ken. So what have you personally noticed or experienced as being a teacher, being a minister in this that the Lord has given you? What testimonies have come, or what have you experienced or seen fruit before your eyes of people's lives that have been changed? Do you want to share a little bit about some of the stuff that you've seen, or some of the people whose lives have been transformed as a result of this attending this weekend?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, I could go on and on with
just
lots of testimonies, but I can remember a woman who, when she was at the first, when she first attended Living Ladder Weekend, if the listeners could just envision, you know, like her arms folded, you know, with that staring look, saying like, you know, this isn't true. I mean, I wish it was, but it isn't true. And so she sat there for the first 3 or 4 hours, just kind of like closed off. And I'm not going to walk through every stage, but I'm telling you, at the end of the weekend, well, let me back up a little bit. About halfway into the weekend, the Holy Spirit of God landed on her. She just began to weep and weep and weep. And again, this is due to one of the psychodramas that we do. And I've never seen somebody weep so hard. And it's one of those moments, if you can imagine a person's head buried down in between their legs, sitting in a chair, and the snot from their nose is touching the ground. I mean, she's weeping that hard. Well, we knew, that the whole team knew that God is doing something in this mm-hmm. woman's life. It has nothing to do with me, or my wife, or any of the other team. It has to do with the power of God coming on an individual.
Amen.
When they find themselves in this kind of a weekend environment. And the bottom line is, her life was changed. I mean, radically changed, inside from out. And she just kept almost... She would share a little bit through the weekend, and she'd get 2 minutes into sharing, and she'd start to cry again. Then she'd regain her composure, and she would share some more, and she'd start to cry again. She just had the power of God all over her, and I'll never forget that. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a joy to watch. And I happen to know this individual, and they're soaring with God. I mean,
praise
life
God.
Has been changed forevermore with this individual.
And that's what it's all about, right? The life to be changed.
Absolutely. I mean... God is in. God is not into behavior modification.
No,
He's into life transformation. My wife's a clinical psychologist. Mm-hmm. One of the modes that they utilize in that field is called behavior modification.
Yeah.
Now, my wife will tell you that without the Holy Spirit being connected to behavior modification, no internal change happens. Only external things happen.
Right. Exactly.
So it's behavior modification. Jesus isn't into behavior modification. He's into life transformation. That's
yeah.
why we always say He works from the inside out.
From the heart and the flow.
That's right.
Area.
That's right. He made us brand new.
And religion doesn't teach that. Religion teaches that, well, if I'm a brand new man in Christ, and I'm going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, because that's just how I'm supposed to be. But until that takes place inside the heart, there's no being able to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. That's why God wants us to understand His grace. Touch a little bit on what I just said. Speak a little bit on that to the listeners that are listening.
Absolutely. To quote you, you just said, without the Spirit of God, you can't do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Mm-hmm.
But let me kind of expound upon that. In reality, Curtis, you really can do A, B, C, D, E, and F, and G without the Holy Spirit. But you know what that's called? That's called moving in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can do it. You can love your wife like Jesus loved your wife in the flesh, or like Jesus loved you by giving himself up. You can do that in the flesh for a while, and you'll shine and look really good. But the reality is there's no real eternal change going on. You can do anything in the kingdom in your own strength and your own flesh, but there's no eternal shift going on. And after a while, you burn out. You get fried. You get hurt. You get whatever you get, but you don't get the eternal change that God's doing. You have to do that in the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 21 to 23, Paul goes on to say, "But I say the deeds of the flesh are," and then he lists a whole litany of things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's adultery, it's outbursts of anger, it's adultery, it's drunkenness, and this list of things. He says a peculiar thing at the very end of that. He says, "But if you continue in these deeds, if you continue to practice these deeds, you will not inherit the kingdom of God." I mean, now, who has not done one of those deeds of the flesh?
We all have.
We all have. And from time to time, I forget who I am and I do them. Well, guess what? According to that scripture, we lose our salvation. We can't inherit the kingdom of God.
Thank you.
But let's dig into a little bit deeper. Let's understand what Paul's saying. It literally reads like this in the Greek language. It says, "You are not currently experiencing the kingdom of God." So when you're moving in the deeds of the flesh, you're doing A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, as you just stated. Mm-hmm. You can do that, mm-hmm. but you're not currently inheriting the kingdom of God. But then Paul has this little three-letter pivot word. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's in verse 16. Then in verse 23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness. And he lists these things that you will experience
if you walk in the Spirit.
As you walk in the Spirit. Well, what is walking in the Spirit? I believe that that's knowing who God is, mm-hmm. and who he says you are. That releases you to walk in the fullness of God, in the fullness of the Spirit. And that produces love, joy, peace, kindness. Mm. So that's kind of a little bit of elaborating on your thought of, you know, you can't do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G if you're not in the Spirit. Well, the reality is you can. You're not having any eternal change when you do it.
Which in a sense basically means that you're doing it, but it's pointless.
There's no point to it.
It's not really touching. It's not really impacting. It's not really doing anything. So really, even though it's happening, it's really not happening.
Yeah. The only thing that's really happening, and it's not an eternal happening, you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You feel like, oh, I'm doing something good. I'm doing the right thing. Well, you know, good things miss the mark.
Let's move on. So this week, this thing is 2 weeks, not 2 weeks. It's in 2 weeks. It's on a weekend. And how's it structured?
Well, I don't want to give away everything
because
we don't have time to declare 3 days.
No,
but when you show up on Thursday night, again, 2 weeks from today on the 14th of May, it's just a registration time. You just come in, you check in, all that sort of stuff. Then we just have some hors d'oeuvres and drinks and so forth. Just relax, and then we serve dinner. Then after that, we start the evening time with some worship and just getting to know one another, kind of breaking the ice, so to speak. So we can relax. The next morning on Friday, we just come in the morning, we serve you breakfast, we continue to relax, and then we just start some teaching and just releasing people into these various topics of knowing who you are in God and breaking off all these lies. And we do that all through Friday night, all day Saturday night, and then Sunday morning we do a little debrief time. And again, I could go on and on and on with what we do, but the bottom line is when you come, you will be transformed.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Listeners, thank you for listening to KKXX Christ Today, KKXX 930 AM, Christ Today, and 104.5 FM, Christ Today, from 11 to 12 on Saturdays. And I hope you are being blessed and encouraged by listening to this program. If you are, feel free to call 894-7325 and let the radio station know. If you don't get a hold of anyone, it's okay. Leave your name, number, and message. And if you want me personally, Curtis Smith, to give you a call, I will. Anyways, I just want to encourage you. and let you know that I'm here for you, that I love you, and that Jesus loves you, and that I'm here to do the show, that you'll be blessed and encouraged. Anyways, we're going to get back to the show. All right. Ken Winton is my guest, and we're going to get back to him. And I just want to say, Ken, as you're talking, maybe you can be a little bit more directive to the audience so that, you know, they can feel like they're relating to you.
Sure.
So anyways, I want Ken to go into some stuff, and I asked him to talk a little bit about, he was sharing a little bit about testimonies earlier in regards to this weekend that he does. Is there anything else more that you want to say about the weekend, or do you want to go on to something else?
No, I just, again, I just encourage people to go to Ken Winton. That's KENWINTON.org, and just look at the page that talks about the Living Lighter Weekend. All the information is there for you, let you know what we go over and all the details. And then you can click on the registration button, and you can go from there. And I need to point out, too, that because my wife is a doctor of psychology, we do receive medical insurance. So whether you have Medi-Cal, Medicare, you know, Blue Anthem, Blue Shield, whatever insurance you may have, we take it. And that helps people get into the weekend for little to no money. So, yeah, just go to KenWinton.org and check it out.
Yeah, KenWinton.org. All right, so Ken, you and I, before we came on the show, we talked about talking about a little bit about grace, and then we talked to talking about a little bit about resting, because I don't think a lot of Christians understand what resting really means in Christ. And I think they get so worked up, they get so into a work frenzy, that the relationship becomes all about dues, and it becomes a doo-doo gospel. And I'll say it again, it becomes a doo-doo gospel. So we want to focus today on the message of resting, what it means to rest in Christ, what it means, what resting in Christ actually involves, or what that entails, so that we can be relating based on what Christ has done and not based on what we're doing. Can you go into that?
Sure. Here's kind of a shock statement for you as you're listening. Did you know that it is possible to do all the right things for all the wrong reasons? I used to do that on a regular basis, and as soon as I forget who I am and who God is, I lean back into doing that. But it is possible to do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. You were not brought on this earth as a born-again believer. That's why you have to become born again. Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Jesus, what must I do to be born again?" Jesus said, "You must be born of the water and of the Spirit." Now, that isn't an implication that you have to be baptized plus saved.
Amen.
Jesus was referring to, you have to have a physical birth. Everyone knows when a mother's water breaks, a child comes forth.
Exactly.
So you have to have physical birth, Jesus said. He was identifying. We've all been born physically, but we have to be born again in the Spirit.
Yes.
The sad part about it is we were born spiritually separated from God, spiritually dead. I have 6 grandkids. It is my passionate intercession over my grandkids that they would come to experience life in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they are spiritually separated from God right now. Now, I know that sounds almost wicked and cruel. How could you say that about your grandkids? I'm telling us a reality. That's why I intercede for my grandkids, because they were born spiritually dead. I want them to experience life in Jesus Christ. Let me give you a prophetic word that was spoken of in Ezekiel 37, verse 14. God said this, "I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live." So God said, "I'm going to put my Spirit in you, and then you will live." Well, if he said, "then you will live," what must we had to have been? We had to have been dead.
Exactly.
Okay? We were spiritually dead.
Exactly.
That's what happened with Adam and Eve when they fell. They were then separated from God. Everything they needed from God, they were in the perfection of rest. They were getting everything they needed from God. They were in perfect communion with Him. They were in perfect rest. Well, that's not really changed, because we can be in perfect rest with Jesus all the time. Now, the brand new us, the brand new born-again creation, Paul says, "Behold, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, behold, all things have become new."
New.
That means something came into existence that never existed before. The brand new you, the place, the dwelling place for God, that's the brand new you. Guess what? That brand new you is always at rest with the Father. You're not overstriving, you're not working, you're resting in the Father. Now, you have a soul realm, your mind, your will, and your emotion, that's in the process of being redeemed.
Okay.
It's not redeemed yet, but it's being redeemed.
Okay.
That's the realm that we have to remember who God is and remember who He says we are. That moves us into resting in Him. We don't have all of a sudden I go, that's right, I don't have to strive. I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. I am just simply your son. I am simply your daughter. That puts this spirit of us resting in God. It's a whole different reality that we're able to rest in that and to realize that I don't have to do anything to make God be happy with me.
Exactly.
Because He's already happy with me.
Well, proper relationship provides room for proper resting.
Absolutely. I love that.
That just came to me. Proper relationship makes room for proper resting. Because if you don't know somebody and you're not able to trust them and you're not able to be comfortable with them and you're not able to be relating with them, how can you rest? You're always, look at Mary and Martha. One was able to go before Jesus, sit at His feet, while the other one was trying to make Him happy by the food that He was making that He didn't even order. He didn't give her a request to go make food. She went and did it to try to make Him happy. And the other sister just sat at His feet and rested because she was comfortable in her relationship with Him.
Mm.
And I think today we got a lot of Christians out there, and listeners, don't be offended, but we have a lot of Christians out there, and if you're not happy in who you are, if you're not satisfied in your relationship with Christ, you're doing things to try to make Him happy with you. And Bob Newhart basically has two words for you. Stop it. Stop it. Let it go. Give it completely over to God. Let God be your life. He wants to be your life. Am I not correct?
Well, you know, a lot of people, we have a tendency to function in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we doubt that I'm doing enough to make God happy. I doubt that I'm really not a sinner. I have no doubts that I am a sinner, but we really doubt that we're saints. I mean, we have doubts after doubts after doubts, and that's so sad. But here's the really good news. Your doubts are not as strong as the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
They are simply not as strong as the blood of Jesus. So, you know, your doubts are hidden in your mind, and they will pin you down every time. Now, your doubts are not as strong as the blood of Jesus and God's promises.
Mm-hmm.
God made a promise. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. Every believer listening right now, you have been brought from death into life.
Into life.
I want to exhort you, don't function in on that you have to die in the flesh. You know why you don't have to function on putting your flesh to death? Because it's already dead. Just acknowledge what it is and function in on living in Jesus, living with Christ.
I want you to clarify something,
uh-huh.
Because a lot of Christians have this attitude, and I've heard Christians say it. Will Paul die daily? Talk about that for a second.
Okay. Well, Paul, when he was speaking that, and he said, I die daily.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening was in Corinth, there was a lot of disputes going on as to whether or not there was real resurrection in Jesus Christ, and there was even some who were doubting the real resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul goes on to bring correction to that when he writes, and he says, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have my Bible open right there, but he basically says this. He says, look, we get attacked verbally every day by people for this gospel, this resurrection gospel. I even get attacked by animals on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I die daily. In other words, he's suggesting that his physical body is on the line every day for this gospel of the resurrection. So basically, he's communicating that, look, Jesus did raise from the dead. Because if he didn't raise from the dead and he didn't raise me from the dead, why am I putting my life on the line? So unfortunately, we cannot use that passage to support that I'm supposed to die daily. Paul wasn't referring to a spiritual death. He's referring to his physical life was on the line. I die daily.
Amen. Okay, so that's what the listeners need to know is that it's not about physically doing something daily. It's about resting and relaxing and trusting in what Christ has already done instead of them trying to do it in and of themselves.
Yeah.
So
we need to lean into God's promises and His truth. You know, whatever you focus in on, that's what you'll become. So if you're going to focus in on you have to die to the flesh, that's what you'll function in. You'll always be dying to the flesh. But what if you were to focus on a living God who is more powerful than anything,
amen,
who is supreme to everything, who is light, who is salvation, who is supreme, who is more powerful, who is, he is everything. Mm-hmm. What if your focus was fully on him at all times? You would be transformed into his likeness.
Fully on the Lord.
Yes.
Focusing on him instead of ourselves.
Right.
Trying so hard to be made right by our righteousness. We've already been made right by the righteousness mm-hmm. of Jesus. All right, Ken, let's go into some other stuff. So what is something else on your heart? I mean, you recently did a mission trip since the last time you were on here. You want to talk about that?
Well, I've been on two missions trips. I went down to Panama, and I must say I'm kind of making a joke just to prove a point, but I'm thinking I'm found hell on earth. It is so hot and so humid down there. It's only about 75 miles south of the equator. I mean, it was on an island teaching at a youth with a mission space. And, oh, my goodness, it's a good thing the power of the Holy Spirit showed up, because that's the only reason I was going to stay there, because I knew that these young adults wanted to grow in Jesus. So, but we had a phenomenal time, even in the midst of all of the humidity and the no-see-ums. You know what no-see-ums are?
No, go ahead.
No-see-ums. They're little bugs, and they call them no-see-ums. Because you can't see them. They're that tiny.
Oh,
but when they bite you, oh my gosh, you feel them. So I'm dealing with these no-see-um bugs. I'm dealing with all the great humidity. We don't have any, we have water in a barrel. That's what you take a shower, a cold shower every morning. And you have to take a military shower. So, you know, you talk about suffering for Jesus. Well, we really were, but it was worth it. It was worth it, man. I'll tell you what. And so in the midst of this island, these young people were growing in who God says they were. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal. And then, a short time ago, I went with my son, my daughter-in-law, and a small team, and we went to Lima, Peru. And
That was recently since the last time you were on
the
show.
Yes, yeah, that was a couple of months ago now. And we worked with one church in particular in an area called Pro, which is right outside of Lima. Lima's a small little town in Peru of about 13 million people. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall people. And well, we just had a great time. My son's a marriage and family therapist. My niece went, who's also a marriage and family therapist.
Everybody in your family's that way, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're a bunch of shrinks, you know. They.
No offense, folks.
They were. I can say that. I'm married to one. They were. doing a lot of counseling, a lot of encouragement. I was doing a lot of intercession and praying over and speaking and teaching and. We had a great time, and we're going to go back in June of 2015. So wow. About a year from now, we're planning to go. We've got about
2016 or
2016.
Okay.
So little, just a pinch over a year from now, we got a team of about 8 to 10, maybe 12 people going. Hmm. And then on June 20th, I leave for India.
20th.
Oh, okay. So we're headed there to teach at some School of Ministries, and we're looking. I work with Impact Ministries. I'm on the board, and we're looking for some property to purchase and some buildings. We're going to start some ministry schools over there.
What's Impact Ministries?
Impact Asia.
Okay.
And we bring an impact of the gospel to Asia, and in particular, we focus in on India. The head of Impact Asia is an East Indian friend of mine. Oh, it's Jeshu that I spoke of earlier in the show.
Yeah, Jeshu
Ram up in the Father's house.
Yeah, I know him.
He was here on the base, so he invited me to be on the board, and all the board members were headed off to India on June 20th. I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay. So you are connected in a lot of ways to YWAM Base, and they've got a lot of stuff that they're doing for the Lord, so praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
What else is on your heart, Ken? Share with us what's on your heart, because I'm running out of questions for you. So I'll be asking questions as you continue talking, but go ahead, share some things in your heart.
Well, I put out a post on Facebook the other day.
You did.
And I wasn't trying to slap us. I was trying to slap us to attention, though.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Facebook post said this: let's stop talking to each other about Baltimore, about Nepal, about gay marriage. Let's quit talking to each other about and this list of things that we're always talking about. I said, let's begin to talk to the Father about these issues. Let's go to Him with the spirit of intercession. Let's stand in the gap. That's the thing that is burning on my heart right now. Time is drawing near. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, yeah.
But the spirit of intercession is being released, and I'm here to exhort every believer listening today, driving in your car, see someone walking on the road, and If you're driving in your car, you see somebody walking on the road right now, ask the Father, Father, what do you want me to intercede over this individual? You don't even have to know them, Curtis. Just begin to intercede over them. Ask the Father what He's interceding over. For the last 2 to 3 weeks, God's been waking me up at 3:30 in the morning. Some of you listening today are relating to that. He's waking people up in the middle of the night, because that's when the greatest need of intercession is, in the middle of the night. So you said, what's really burdened on my heart? Intercession right now. Because intercession moves the Father's heart. Mm-hmm. We're in complete agreement with heaven when we're interceding. Jesus only has one job description right now. Guess what it is? He's the chief intercessor.
Amen.
It could be said that that's all He's doing from heaven. He's seated at right hand of the God the Father, and He's interceding over all of us constantly.
And that's it?
Non-ceasing. That's what He's doing. Mm-hmm. He's interceding over us. He's interceding over Nepal. He's interceding over Baltimore. He's interceding over gay marriage. He's interceding, and He's calling us to be in agreement with Him. He's looking for voluntary lovers. Mm-hmm. He's looking for those He's looking for voluntary lovers.
Not forceful, not people that are obligated, but voluntarily.
That's
right.
Yeah. He's looking for us to voluntarily be in agreement with Him. Mm-hmm. This is what worship is, Curtis. Worship is agreement with who God is. Mm-hmm. Intercession is agreement with what God will do. Mm. So worship is simply declaring, this is who You are, Father. Intercession is simply in agreement with what You will do.
That's so awesome.
So that's probably the number one thing that's burdening my heart right now, that's strong on my heart. When I say burden, I don't mean it as a negative, but that's the thing that burns in my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be a burning one for God.
So you're passionate right now for intercession.
For intercessory worship. Okay. Worship and intercession together. You know, God never separated worship from intercession. They're intermingled to Him. When you're worshiping, you're interceding. When you're interceding, you're worshiping. Now, somewhere along the line, centuries ago, decades ago, we've somehow separated worship from intercession. We've got the emotional intercessors over here, you know, and then we've got the whacked out, crazy, prophetic intercessors way over here on the left, and twain the two should never meet, because if they do, they'll fight. That's never been God's intention. Well, guess what God's doing? He is birthing intercessory worship. He's bringing it back together, because that's His purpose. That's what happened in the tabernacle of David. That's what happened in the temple, and God is restoring the tabernacle of David in this hour. Amen. Because Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah. Even if soon is 2 to 5 years from now, or even if soon is six months to a year, He's coming soon.
None of us knows when He's coming back.
No.
But He said, let me give you signs so you'll know when I am about ready to come. We're seeing signs all over the world. You only have to watch Fox News and CNN.
Yeah.
And you listen to them, they prophesy every day, and they don't even know it.
Wow. Let's just pray that more souls get saved and more people come to Jesus before He
Absolutely.
Comes. Absolutely. Because that's what it's all about. I really believe in we're seeing a grace revival even at this moment taking place, because God's extending His grace. And yeah, I agree with you. None of us know. We just know that we're ready. And
yes.
to stay ready in Christ.
So, which, Curtis, let me tell you, listeners, this is why you were saved. To be in agreement with Jesus. He's recapturing the earth, and we're going to give it to Jesus Christ. We're going to lay it at His feet. Guess what? If you're a born-again believer, your spiritual salvation is complete, and it was completed for one reason, so that you could be in agreement with the Father. You could bring the earth. The nations are His. The nations are ours. He wants us in intercession to bring forth and give them to His Son. At salvation, you receive the same Spirit that you will have throughout all eternity. You're not going to have a new spirit. You're not going to, you know, you don't have to be changed again or cleansed again.
Nope, it's been done once.
It's been done once and for all. Listen to Romans 6, 8 to 10. For now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. Mm-hmm. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer is master over Him. The death He died to sin once and for all. But the life He lives to God. It's been sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And is therefore sanctified and perfected forever.
Sanctified,
you don't have to keep dying
forever.
Over and over and over again. What I want to communicate to our friends listening, you are forgiven, past, present, and future. And that puts you in a position of eternal salvation and eternal intercession.
Amen.
You were created to intercede. You were created to be in agreement with Him. Amen.
Wow. So deep. We're going to take another break, and we'll come back, and Ken, you can share what else is on your heart. Listeners, welcome to KKXX Christ Today, 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM. And if you love this show, if you're encouraged by this show, feel free to dial in at 894-7325. Leave us how you feel about the show. Let us know what you think. And if you have a guest or an idea for a show, let me know. Your host, Curtis Smith, would be glad to know what would make you guys happy and what you guys would enjoy listening to. Anyways, we have a Holy Spirit School of Evangelism coming up with evangelist Joan Pierce, Walking in God's Power with Signs and Wonders, Wednesday, May 13th, Thursday, May 14th, Friday, May 15th. Time, Wednesday at 7, Thursday at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Thursday at 10 a.m., 7 p.m., Friday at 10 a.m., an outreach at 1 p.m., and the show or the meeting, the last meeting is at 7 p.m. Night meetings are miracle services. It's 400 Mariposa Avenue, Gerber, California, 96035. Bring a friend. Come and expect a miracle. All right, folks, we're going to get back to the show. And if you have considered sponsoring, or if you're a business out there, or a business owner, and you're listening and you want to sponsor the show and you want more information on it, feel free to give me a call and ask about it. I'd be glad to talk to you. All right, we're back to the show. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Curtis.
All right, so what's stirring in your heart right now?
Well, I think one of the subjects that, again, as I go from conference to conference, church to church, school to school, one of the things that I continue to hear people say is, they almost weep. They say, I hate sin. I want to quit sinning. But then they always have that big but I can't stop. Well, let's talk about that for just a moment. Let me do it this way. Let me give you a very brief story. Take about 15 seconds to tell this story. Once there was a young boy. He tried to take a bone away from a dog. Unwilling to let go of the bone, the dog bit him. His father said, "Here, let me take the bone away from the dog." Well, soon the father came back to where the boy was standing and held out the bone to him. His son asked, "Dad, how did you do that?" His father smiled and said, "It's easy, son. I gave him something he wanted more than the bone. I gave him a steak." In other words, it's easy to give up sin when you have something better. We said earlier, Paul says it this way in Galatians 5:16. He said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Well, sadly, we've taught that backwards. And we've taught it kind of like this. "But I say, deny the flesh, put the flesh to death, then you'll be walking by the Spirit." That doesn't work. Mm. It never has worked. It never will work. It's not designed to work. God actually presented a way for us, believe it or not, to go 24 hours without sinning. Now, that is a very difficult statement for people to chew on, much less agree with. But Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus never sinned. And guess what? We have been given the same power and the same authority because He gave it to us. It is possible to gaze on the Father so much and be caught up with Him so much that we're no longer carrying out the desires of the flesh. Now, if we do carry out the desires of the flesh, you repent. You agree with God that what you did was you attempted to get life out of dead things.
I want to clarify something.
Uh-huh.
Repentance. Please, please, for the record, clarify this. Going to God and asking Him for forgiveness when you already have it versus repentance. Isn't repentance a change of heart and a change of mind? And is it that what we're talking about when we say repentance? Or is it necessary every time we blow it to go and ask God for forgiveness?
Well, let me make it very clear. Listeners, we are welcome to ask God continually to forgive us. Period. We're welcome to do that. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're not going to gain anything more if you do that. But let's understand something about that statement. It is not a needed statement to say any longer. Why would you ask God to receive, to forgive you when you already have His forgiveness?
Amen.
But that causes us to then move into a spirit of repentance. Repentance means to come into agreement with God. That's literally what it means. I know we say, well, it's to turn away from and all that stuff, and I don't have any problem with that. But it literally means to come into agreement with God. Well, what are you coming into agreement with Him about? You're coming into agreement that God, I agree with you. I was trying to get life out of things that are dead. I was trying to get life out of my flesh. But I come into agreement with you and I say that you're the giver of life. You're the one who has provided a way. You're the giver of everything that I need. And in you, I have forgiveness. So instead of asking forgiveness, I want to say thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that I have forgiveness in you. That puts you in a whole nother perspective, okay? Now, not only that, but we need to know something. God has either made it possible for us to live 24 hours without sinning, or this Christianity and all that God has purposed to do through the blood and the sacrifice as His Son is a big waste of time. Mm. In other words, what Jesus did on the cross is a waste of time if you can't go 24 hours without sinning. Now, don't make that your goal. Your goal is to not sin. Your goal is to be with Him. When you're with Him, guess what you're also not doing? You're no longer sinning. Mm. We're active pursuers of Christ. Therefore, we will not grab hold of death, but we will grab hold of life through Jesus. Mm. Since God never lies, I'm willing to tell the listeners that you can walk deeper and deeper with Him, and you can experience 24 hours without sinning, and you can have an abundant life full of the Spirit.
See, I didn't see it like that. Thank you. That's clarity, because I didn't see it like that. Because I believe that even the thought itself was sin. And so I can say that no matter how hard I tried, within a 24-hour period of time, it seemed like there was sin going on, even though physically in front of people, sin wasn't being committed. But thank you for clarifying that. And I see you're going to point out to some scripture. So
yeah, I just found a Bible over here. So I got it.
I've heard Pentecostal preachers say, because that's where the denomination I came from, say, you don't have to sin every day. You can get to a point where you don't have to sin every day. And I know with the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't, and it gives you the help and the power not to. But it was like, how can you not sin every day when you're human? But that makes a lot of sense. And I hope the listeners are understanding this as we've been able to share this just now.
Well, we are redeemed people, which means you're brand new. Mm. We have our soul realm, our mind, our will, and our emotion that's in the process of being redeemed, which means, guess what? From time to time, we forget that we're redeemed. We forget that we're sons and daughters of the Most High. We think we can get life out of things that are dead. You know why you can't get life out of things that are dead?
Tell us.
Because they're dead.
Mm. That makes sense.
They're just dead. But we somehow think we can. So in James chapter 1, verse 14, But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has been conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth, guess what?
Death.
Death. Mm-hmm. Okay? In verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I was tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away with his own lust. In other words, just to have a thought. Okay, let's get really frank and really honest, okay? I mean, I have enough people who get mad at me, so if the listeners want to get mad at me, it's perfectly okay. I'm going to be okay with Jesus. Hope you don't, but it's okay. If I'm driving down the road, and I see a beautiful woman, and my mind picks up that she's a beautiful woman, I've not sinned at that moment because I've noticed an attractive woman. You know when? Because I'm having a thought about that. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with that thought. Scripture tells us to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I notice a beautiful, attractive woman, well-built woman, and I notice her, and then I say, oh, but Father, because I know where my mind can go. Mm-hmm. And I say, oh, but Father, I get my life out of you. Mm-hmm. You're the giver of life. Mm-hmm. You're the one who fills me up. You, God, have blessed me with an amazing wife. You've given me a beautiful wife. Mm-hmm. So, Father, I'm fixed on you and you alone. See, right at that moment, I didn't sin.
No.
But I could have sinned. Mm-hmm. I could have forgot who I was and lusted after that woman, but I didn't. I took my thought captive. Mm-hmm. And I took that captive, and I decided to focus in on Jesus. I made declarations to who he was. It's a big difference, okay? So I want the listeners to know, just because you have a thought about sin doesn't mean you've sinned. But Amen. Be careful. That thought can
be... If you're not careful, can lead into it.
Can lead into sin. Right at that moment, you have a marker in the sand that you can draw. Your mind needs to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, my decision was for Christ. I'm deciding I get my life out of you, God. And you just begin to dwell on that. For me, it's not as simple as making one statement. Oh, I get my life out of you, Jesus. Then I'm still looking at this woman. No. Jesus, my attention is fully on you. Mm-hmm. I make declarations as to who you are. You're the giver of life. You're the one who's forgiven me for all things. You're a beautiful God. You're a powerful God. You're a loving God. You're a forgiving God. You're a magnificent God. And Amen. You've made me as your wonderful son.
Amen.
And I'm going to partner with you.
Amen.
Boy, I'll tell you what. There's where Paul in Galatians 5:16 said, "But I say walk in the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh." Man, I begin to walk in the Spirit then. I'm not carrying out the desires of the flesh. You can't be carrying out the desires of the flesh and walking in the Spirit at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You can't.
Wow. You're really teaching me some stuff today. Thank you. Some things are being clarified for me.
Good.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Listeners, I hope this show is encouraging you. And if we had a live show, we would do questions and answers and have you guys call in. All right, Kim, we've got 10 minutes left. So... I know you got some more stuff on your heart. You're still looking up stuff, so go ahead and talk about what else God has placed on your heart. I always like having you on the show. You are on the show the first time, and every time I've had you, this time including, it gets better, so I hope to have you again too. So,
well, I just want to leave the listeners with this thought. You were created to be with God.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to be with you. Therefore, you were created to gaze on his beautiful face. But the truth is that we are not dead anymore. We're dead to sin. So we belong at the king's table. What seems impossible in the kingdom of God is possible as you gaze on his beautiful face. I love the way David said this in Psalms 27, verse 4. He said, "God, there's only one thing that I ask, and there's only one thing that I seek." I find it amazing for what David didn't say. David didn't say, "God, there are six really important things, but oh, you're number one."
Wow.
He didn't say that.
No, he didn't.
He basically said, "Everything else in the world is nothing. You and you alone is where I find what I'm looking for."
Yeah.
"So therefore, Father, there's only one thing I ask, only one thing that I seek, that I could gaze on your beautiful face, that I could get lost in that beauty,
yeah,
that I could meditate on your word, your thoughts, your intentions, and that I could be in your house all of my days."
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on right after that in verse 5 to say, "For surely in my days struggles will come. The enemy will come after me. People mm-hmm. will say things against me. Things will occur. But you know what? You will lift me up, and you will raise me up above my enemies, so my enemies have no place in my life."
Mm.
How will God lift you up? As you gaze upon his beautiful face.
Wow.
As you seek him.
That's why he says, if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
That was a salvation statement, but it could easily extend to just after salvation. You know, we believe that salvation is free up to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But then we believe we have to somehow earn our salvation after that.
Yeah, works is involved. And works,
yeah.
Works really takes us away from God when it brings us to God.
Because right.
It all becomes self-centered and self-focused instead of God-centered and God-focused.
Well, the bottom line, listeners, is the bridal paradigm, which simply means you're the bride of Christ.
Bride of Christ.
And the word paradigm means that we have a new way of looking at something. Well, the bridal paradigm message tells us that we were created to sit at his table and to gaze on his beautiful face. We're called to renew our mind regarding who God is and who he says we are to him. And we know that our minds have been renewed, listen to this, when the impossible seems possible and it's consistent with who we really are. God wants our minds renewed so that he can be accomplished on the earth just like it is in heaven. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bring heaven to the earth.
Amen.
And I want to leave the listeners with this particular verse in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. Do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness from God. For sin, listen to this, shall not be master over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. So all of us who have nagging sins and strongholds attempting to control you, well, none of us wants to continue sinning.
No.
We love Jesus way too much to continue on that path. But we will be haunted by sin if we attempt to stop sinning by following the requirements of the law.
That's so true.
When we focus on the law, we're actually focusing it in on the sin that we're trying to avoid.
Amen.
And let me repeat that. When you focus in on the law, you're actually focusing in on your sin that you're actually trying to quit. Rather than the one who took away your sin. Focus in on him. He took away your sin. He's promoted you to life.
Yeah.
So place all of your fascination on Jesus.
Amen.
And watch him move you from sin and death into life and victory. That's the bottom line. Okay? Let me close with this little story. A few years ago, I heard a tragic story about a boating accident resulting in the loss of two lives. This actually was at Lake Shasta when my wife and I used to live up in Redding. The family was enjoying a day on the lake when the father made a quick turn with the boat and his daughter fell overboard. She was a young girl. The father quickly turned the boat around and jumped into the water to save his daughter. The father could swim, but for some unexplained reason, he quickly drowned, leaving the little girl still thrashing about in the water. Now, one on board knew how to operate the boat, and it continued to drift away as the father and the daughter were perishing. Nearby, a man was fishing from a small rowboat. Seeing the accident, he began to row to the scene to help in any way that he could. Paralyzed from the waist down, the man's ability to help was limited. As he approached the struggling girl, he held out an oar for her to grasp, but he couldn't do any more because of his condition. Unable to hold on to the oar, the girl slipped beneath the surface of the water while the man watched helplessly, unable to do anything more to help her. All of humankind, Curtis, is very much like that drowning girl. We're overcome by sin and we're unable to help ourselves. The law of Moses and any other system of rules is very much like the paralyzed man attempting to rescue the little girl. His intentions were sincere and commendable, but he lacked the power to save the drowning girl. The law is good, but it cannot save the sinner.
So true.
Neither can the law release the Christian from the bondage of sin. As a matter of fact, it is the law that somehow sustains humanity's bondage to sin.
Amen.
The law is good and it's holy. You know why? Because it points us to Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And it's perfect.
It points us to him. Therefore, the solution to the problem of sin is to be released from the law and to be released from sin.
Amen.
Through what Jesus did on the cross. Period.
Yep. Well, that's why he said at the cross, it is finished.
That's right.
And what part of finished don't people still get?
There's no more to be done. It's all been done. I'm going to walk in that.
Well, my brother, I'm going to have you pray us out. And before he prays us out, I'm going to let you guys know to follow us every week from 11 to 12 on Saturdays and 11 to 12 on Sundays. And be blessed, folks. Go ahead and pray us out, Ken.
Now, Father, I simply want to make a declaration that you are good. You're always good. You're never in a bad mood. You're never frustrated. You love all of your creation. You loved us so much that you sent your Son to get us back. And so for that, Father, I thank you for my personal redemption. I thank you for those listening who have been saved. And now, Father, we pray for those that have not yet been saved. We say yes and amen. Save them, Father. Arrange things in the Spirit for them to come across believers who will then pronounce the good news to them. So, Father, would you awaken your church to a spirit of intercession? Would you awaken your bride to know who she is? In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, listeners, it's Christ Today, KKXX 930 AM, 104.5 FM. Our guest has been Ken Winton. We're over and out, and talk to you again next week.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.